That one word. Hallelujah. All right, pray with me, Father. We approach your word now with reverence, with awe, Lord, with open face, like the word of God tells us, with open hearts, Lord, we lay like on a surgery table with everything wide open. You also told us in Hebrews chapter 4 that nothing is hidden from you. We are naked before you, Lord. But you know, we see that as a good thing. It's a good thing. And so we rejoice in it. Lord, let your word find us. We thank you for it. When your word finds us, we know we'll see ourselves through your word. My God, have your way in each home, in each heart, in each mind tonight, and in each spiritual eye, Lord. Let the revelation knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, just flow into our hearing tonight. Let it, the word, be the seed that is planted that grows up to a tree of righteousness, Lord. And that the harvest thereof, feed many. All glory to God. So we thank you that you'll have your way. You'll have your way with us. You'll have your way with the words. You'll have your way, my God, in Jesus' name. Amen. All glory, glory. All right. Are you at 1 John chapter 3? 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. I'm going to read it from the King James Version, of course. And it reads, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved," verse 2, "now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Oh, glory to God. See, you know, I love verse 2. You know, verse 2, if we say it like we say it, and it's pretty clear for us, you know, the Apostle John, when he wrote this letter to the churches, he says, "Behold, now are we the sons of God." And it doesn't, we don't know just yet, you know, what that actually all entails and all looks like. Not yet. But and what we shall be when he comes back. But this we do know. When he does appear, we'll look like him. We know that. Glory to God. Isn't that something to rejoice over? We know this. When he does appear, we will look like him, and we'll see him as he is. Glory to God. Now, let's look at verse 2 here. I want to bring a few things out for us. Now, hear this with the ears of your spirit tonight. The word of God says, "Beloved," meaning children of God, "now are we the sons of God." Now are we. When are we the sons of God? Now. We are now the sons of God. That means we're not trying to get to sons of God. We're not trying to attain to. We're not trying to grow into sons of God. We are sons of God. When? Now. Now. We're not trying to buy it, work for it, earn it. No. Now. Are we the sons of God? Now. That term now speaks of time. It speaks of time. An appointed time. Now. The appointed time is now. Now. And it's interesting though that this term now has, we're going to say, three dimensions to it. Now has a past dimension. It has a present dimension. It has a future dimension, as it speaks of time. Now. Now speaks of something that has already happened. See, so it speaks of the past. In order for us to be the sons of God now, we had to have already been the sons of God. So it's already happened. Well, when did it happen? I hope you're walking with me. Go to the Gospel of John. We're going to walk through the Bible tonight. The Gospel of John. Because there's a point that the Holy Spirit is making in our souls, in our hearts tonight, in our understanding. There's a point. So walk with me. Am I going to say a lot you've already heard? I sure am. But walk with me and hear what we're saying tonight. The past. We are the sons of God right now. Means that something already happened in the past. Well, when did it happen? The Gospel of John chapter 1 tells us very clearly. Verses 11 through 13. In the King James, it happened then. He came unto his own. He who? Jesus. Jesus came unto his own. His own who? At the children of Israel. Let's just be clear about this. Jesus was a Jew. So his own were the Jewish people. So Jesus came unto his own, and his own received him not. But, however, there is a but here. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name. But as many as received him, now speaks of others past the Jews, is as many. Whomever received him, he gave them the power to become the sons of God. So in the past, when it happened for you and I, was when we received him and believed on him. And believed on his name. Isn't that when it happened? It was then, at that moment, he gave us the power to become the sons of God. Right then, verse 13 says this, which were born, you and I, when we received him, believed on him, you and I were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but born of God. Yeah, see, we're not talking about when we were earthly, born in our flesh and our natural bodies, of course, when mom and daddy got together and you were born. Not talking of that, but talking of the Spirit. God is Spirit. So when we were born of God is what we're talking about here. The appointed time in the past was when we heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. How do I know that? Because it says that we believed on his name. Name, anoma. Name means the representative of the person himself. So when we received the gospel, we heard it. However we heard it, we could have heard a preach word. We could have heard a song, a gospel in the song. It could have been a play. However we heard the gospel, we received it when we heard it. And then we believed on his name. That gospel, however we received it, it was a representation of Jesus himself. It was as though that Jesus was speaking to us himself. It was a representation that we received, and then we believed that message that we heard about Jesus is the Christ, and Jesus is God's Christ. That message of redemption, the gospel of Christ, we believed it. And at that moment, when we said out of our mouths, Jesus, be our, my Lord and my Savior. I believe. Then, at that moment, we became the born of God. The sons of God, born of God at that moment. And at that time then, being born of God, we obtained a heritage. It was a heritage. Something happened. There was a transition happened. A translation even. A transformation even happened. Now again, not in the flesh, but in the spirit, we were transformed. You all remember Transformers? They started out as cars, and then trouble happened, and they became people that talked, stood up on 2 feet. They were transformed from a car to a superhero. And so we too were transformed. Our heritage changed at that time. We brought on a new ethnicity, a new culture, a new nationality when we were born of God. See, we're now the children of God. We have a new heritage, a new identity. That new identity has new values and new treasures that belong to the heritage in which now we have been translated into. Children of God, sons of God, sons of God. We now are the sons of God. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 tells us. Placing details today on the appointed time that we became the sons of God. We put in details there, see, because it let us understand beyond the general sense of the word. Let us understand that once we were became the sons of God, born of God, then we took on the heritage that God is. See, the sons of God, a newness, new ethics, ethnicity. I'm struggling with that word. A new. And what is that now, son of God? A new culture. What is that? The culture of the kingdom of God. A new nationality. What is that nationality? The kingdom of God. Hallelujah. At the now and the time past. And so we see now that now has an element of something that has already happened. Now, what about the present tense? The present tense. Go with me. Romans chapter 8. Let's look at the present tense of this thing that happened. The sons of God that we now are. This present tense. Romans chapter 8. Go with me. Romans 8. Verses 15 through 17. I'm going to read it in the King James. I'm going to talk about it very quickly. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Now, if you look at verse 15 again is showing us that this now, the sons of God, has happened in the past. It says, but ye have received, past tense, the spirit of adoption, whereby we say daddy, daddy, father, father, daddy. And it's the spirit of Christ. That's inside of us, that bears witness, that confirms for us in our spirits that we are today, right now, the children of God. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. And if we are heirs, we are heirs because we are joint heirs with the Son of God, with Christ. If we are children and we are, then we are heirs. Again, we're talking about this heritage now. In the form of heir. Let's talk about this heir. This way, in Galatians chapter 4. You going with me? Let's go. Galatians chapter 4. I want you to see it with your own eyes. Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. We're going to talk about this heir. Heir. What is an heir? An heir is a person legally. I did say legally. A person that is legally entitled. A person legally entitled to property and rank. Legally entitled. This person, this heir, is legally entitled. Didn't work for it. Didn't earn it. Entitled to it, though. Heirs. Now, we're heirs of God. Joint heirs with Christ, Romans chapter 8 tells us. Well, let's see what that looks like in Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, the child, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father. Talking about children as heirs in Hebrew world, in their culture, When a son was born, that son was born an heir. Just by being born, that son is born an heir. Now, if by chance that son was the firstborn son, then he also could be the heir of the birthright. That birthright now, he's the heir of the birthright. And that birthright means he is the one who's going to take the family treasures, the family resources, and the family legacy into the future. So this child is born, firstborn, and he is already the heir. But seeing how being a child, that child is not ready to be the Lord yet of the family. But yet and still, he is the heir. But under tutors and governors until the time appointed, till he grows up. Even so we, the Bible says to us, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them. We've been redeemed. Haven't you been redeemed? This is talking about us. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Again, sons. We are sons. The sons of God. When? Now. And because we are sons of God, has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, where we can cry, Daddy, to the Father. Verse 7, wherefore, watch this, thou art no more a servant, but a son. When? Now. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Oh, come on. Are you seeing where we're going with this? See, in time past, when we believed the gospel and we received Jesus as our Lord, we became sons of God then. At that time, and we received a new ethnicity at that time, a new culture, a new nationality called the kingdom of God. It's a new identity we were given even back then. And so therefore, if we being now heirs, having this heritage, we are therefore no more servant. We're no more the servant of the house. The Apostle Paul is talking about here by the Holy Spirit. We're no more the ones that are working in the house, you know, for the Lord. But we're the sons. See, we're sons of God. And if a son, then the heir. We're heirs of God through Christ. Do we get that? We have that. Now, glory to God. So we see then, it's been clear, made clear to us, that this now, that 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 was talking about, this now has an element of the past. We understand now what that past means and what happened back in that past, what happened that makes us now, right now, in the present, the heirs of God. We can see it in the Word of God. But now let's go to this. In the context of the heritage in Christ, of what we are speaking, it specifies a confidence also of the future. Now, we are now the sons of God. And we have this confidence that we were made sons of God in the past. And right now in the presence, we are the sons of God. The Spirit of God gives us that confirmation of knowing that when we call the Father, we call him Daddy. See, he's our daddy too, see. And therefore, everything the daddy has belongs to the sons. That's the heirs, joint heirs with Christ today, right now. But you know what? It also has a future tense to it as well. We can look right at 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 of our text tonight, and we can see very clearly of the future. It says this, beloved, verse 2, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know this, when he shall appear, we shall be like him. When he appears, see, future also, the son, will be like the Son, because we are in the Son. We shall see him as he is, and we'll look just like him. See, there's a future tense also in this word now. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, the heirs of God. We have a heritage in God. Do we understand? Now, 1 John chapter 3, verses 3 applies to us as well. We have to look at 1 John 3:3 also. And it says, and every man that has this hope in him purifies himself, even as Jesus is pure. Now, will you allow me to switch the word a little bit here? It says, and every man that has this hope. Let us say it this way. And every son that has this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. We look at this and we see the process of purification going on, the sanctification that's going on inside the children of God, the sons of God. And this process is because we have this hope of knowing that when he appears, when he comes back, I look just like him. See, we looked at it in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, I believe it was. Just a couple Sundays ago is where we've been. I'm going to go there. Chapter 3, verse 18. And it says this, but we all, with open face, beholding in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord that's in us. See, we're being changed. Who's being changed? The sons of God being changed day by day and moment by moment as we behold in the glass, that glass. Glory to God. Now let's take a look at this, because I don't want us to leave confused tonight. Verse 3 says that this Son purifies himself. Now, we've been talking for the last few weeks about how we have ceased from our own works. That when we're operating in the law of do it yourself, that we put ourselves in condemnation. Haven't we been talking about that? So now we have to reconcile what the word is saying here, because the word does not contradict itself. I said the word does not contradict itself. And so, therefore, when the Bible tells us that we purify himself, what are we saying then? It's saying this, that we must participate. That we have a part to play in this. That we must participate in this process of purification. There's a participation that we do. And we understand again that it is the grace of God that is sufficient for us. And that his strength is made perfect in weakness. So when we cease from our own works, then the power of Christ rests upon us. It rests upon us. See, I want to talk about this as talking about a magnifying glass. What does this process look like? This purification process where we participate. We who, the sons of God. The sons of God who are led by the Spirit of God. See, the sons of God who access the treasures, the values, the kingdom of God, legally entitled, legally by the covenant. Let me say that, by the covenant, legally entitled to all the promises of God. When? Now. Right now. And in this process then of purification, where we are participating with God in this process, then what then does this look like? Will you allow me here again to take the glass that 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18 is talking about, how beholding in the glass, we are being changed into his image from glory to glory. And let me turn it into a magnifying glass, just for the sake of an object lesson. Okay? Allow me. Would you allow me to do that? A magnifying glass. See, to explain it like this, God has a magnifying glass. And in his time, when he's ready, he takes that magnifying glass and he focuses in on the stuff, the things, the residue from the old man before we became the heirs of God. He takes the magnifying glass when he's ready. And he puts a highlight, a very focus, a laser focus on stuff. Let me identify some stuff that we may have the magnifying glass on us today. See, some stuff in our attitude, maybe. There may be some fears, maybe. Could be. Could be some habits, you know. Could be. Residue of the old man. See, some places where we're still operating in the law of do-it-yourself. And that law of do-it-yourself simply means that we're trying to fulfill a need our own way. Be it a need of finances or be it a need of making ourselves feel secure. I mean, or whatever need, see. And so the Lord again takes a magnifying glass, I said. And when he's ready, please understand what I'm saying. When he's ready, then he takes that magnifying glass and he focuses laser in on that thing. I thank God he doesn't do it all at the same time. He does it when we are able to withstand it. You know, the Bible tells us that he doesn't allow us to be tempted beyond what we can withstand. And see, and so, you know, so he finds the thing he's ready to remove out of our lives and put his magnifying glass on it. Now, object lesson. I'm almost finished. Let's see this. Object lesson. What could it look like? God's magnifying glass. What could it look like? Get out the
way. A magnifying glass. So, first, get yourself a magnifying glass. Next, get yourself some piece of paper, some dry leaves, right? Some dry wooden small planks, okay? Now, so I have right here, you can see I have some wood, some leaves, right? So you wanna give it a really good chance of catching fire. So I'm actually gonna put some paper there as well. I'll cover it up with some of this wood right here. So we just wanna make sure that, you know, we have the best chance of this thing catching fire, okay? So next, what you wanna do is, you can see that when you hold the magnifying glass with the sun, it creates this concentration of light. And the smaller you can get it by tilting the magnifying glass, the more concentrated and the more strong it becomes. Okay, so now if I use this little dot and I put it onto our little construction here, you can see that there's smoke coming out, so it's already starting to catch fire. And ladies and gentlemen, voila, this is how you start a fire with a magnifying glass. There we go. Now we have ourselves a fire. It's
okay. Now, see, listen, did you see? You see that magnifying glass? Did you see the laser focus? I love this. I love this. I didn't catch this as I was preparing it, but I just caught it. That magnifying glass needs the sun. of the sun. Come on, can you spread your understanding here real quickly here? That magnifying glass needs the sun and that laser focus and finds that thing that now the Father is ready to remove. And what's our participation? We stay under the fire. That's our participation. We stay under the heat. You know, we don't move away. We don't run away from the heat. See, we stay. That's our participation. And as that magnifying glass God puts on a thing, see, it starts to heat up in us. And we begin to recognize as we are measuring it against the glory that we know that we have become in the sons of God. And we say, oh, this is not like God. And see, the magnifying glass, it shows us too. See, we get to see it too. And here comes the fire, and the fire starts to burn. See, this is what I like about this magnifying glass that the Father uses. See, we got to understand something. There are other ways to deal with stuff and things in our lives, isn't it? It is. There's psychology. There's the medical system. There's a whole lot of ways we can do it. And you know what? They're good. They have their own glory. They do. They have their own. They produce results. They do. But there's a thing about when you use something else, you know, other than God's magnifying glass, what happens then is now you got to cope. And you gotta maintain. See, when you go to other sources, you know, there's a part of self-will and self-discipline that you have to apply to it. But when you get up under God's magnifying glass, I want you to see something. He burns it out of you. Oh, God. Purification, see. He'll burn that thing out of you if you'll stay up under his focus on you. And if you allow it to burn it out of you. We found out Jesus said to a people, come to me and buy gold tried by fire. See, you come out pure gold. And what God knows and the Son knows, the one who born you to God, the one that created you. See, he can go down to that deep, dark place where nobody else knows. And he can root it out from the root, see, and burn it out from the root. And now it's gone and you're free. You don't have to maintain this anymore. See, now you're free because he's burned it out of you. See, when he comes back, we'll look just like him, charred by the fire of God's magnifying glass in our lives. And so we participate in that. Sons of God, we participate in that. Why is it? Because, see, as sons and heirs, we have this heritage that we have to, that we are called to continue. The lineage that we're called to continue. And now we have to be stewards of the resources of the kingdom in order to carry out the heritage in which we've been given. So we stay up under the magnifying glass of God. When he points a thing out, that means when he points it out to us, the thing that means he's ready now to take it out. He's ready to burn it out of us. And what's our job? We simply participate. See, we let him burn it. We participate because we know that we go free. Oh my God, if it wasn't so late, I'd give you one of my own stories. But you know I have one. Glory to God. The magnifying glass of God. Oh, it's good for us. It burns. Yeah, it does. But when we go free, though, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. So, brothers and sisters, tonight, the message of the Lord to us tonight was this: don't grow weary in well doing, because in due season you will reap. And I believe that the Lord is saying to us tonight, we are in due season. We are to expect the greatness of God. Yeah. Expect it. Why? Because I did it all perfect, because I'm just so perfect, and I read my Bible all the time, and I'm praying 7 hours a day. No, because you're a son. Because you're a son. Now, maybe you do those things, but you do those things because you're a son. And because you're a son, that means you're an heir. You have a heritage in God. And legally, my God, oh, can we get this? Legally, the goodness of God belonged to us, legally. By the covenant, legally. See, he made himself subject to the covenant that he made. Legally. Oh, thank you, Jesus. The goodness, the greatness. We expect great things. When? Now. Now. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. When? Now. Now. Glory to God. Now. Right now. Beloved, now are we the sons, the heirs of God, born of God through Jesus Christ. Amen. Can we say amen to that? Amen. Amen. Can you say amen to this word tonight? Let this word sink into your heart and let us understand and know and be, let it be revealed to us. Lord God, I pray. Let us be exposed to the truth. Lord, as sons of God, right now, we're heirs, right now. Left here in the earth to be a representation of Jesus Christ himself right now, being changed into the image of God day by day and moment by moment, but heirs. Bless the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.